This morning I was listening to a lecture of Prabhupada that he gave, I think it was 1975, and he was talking about the importance of controlling the mind. Because unless we control our mind, there's no question of controlling the senses. This is what Prabhupada was explaining. And he explained, in the course of the lecture, he explained different ways to control the mind. And basically he was saying that the mind should be focused on Krishna. That is the best way to control the mind. Nothing but Krishna. Nothing but Krishna. So either chant Krishna's names, or hear Krishna's names, or chant and hear Krishna's names, and look at the beautiful forms of Krishna, but somehow become absorbed in thoughts about Krishna, because unless our consciousness is absorbed in thoughts about Krishna, it's going to be absorbed in so many other thoughts, and those other thoughts entangle us in the material world, and he explained it entangled us in birth, further births and death. Now as we live our lives, we don't think of so much, we get so involved in our very small lives that we forget that this is this one life amongst so many lives, and that we really should try to get out of this vicious cycle of birth and death. So we forget that. But Prabhupada, being so realized, didn't forget that, doesn't forget that. And he expressed in this lecture that this is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement, to bring people to that realization that this is not our only life, and we are not this body. This body isn't me. And regardless of what state or stage the body is in, it's not me. And if we get absorbed only in the body, and the thoughts of the body related to the body, and the mind, and the senses, then we'll be entangled in this very vicious cycle of birth and death. So one of the things he said about controlling the mind and focusing on Krishna, I actually never heard him directly say this before. He said that you should try and do something for Krishna. And naturally, if one makes an attempt to do something for Krishna, instead of doing it for me, if I try to do something for Krishna, then naturally my mind will focus on the person who I'm trying to do it for. So this is such an important point of bhakti, and that distinguishes it really from karma yoga, because our acharyas, Shri Baladev Vidyabhusan, explains that karma yoga leads to bhakti, so therefore karma yoga and bhakti are the same. But he also explained, but Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur takes a little bit of a different stance and says, no, in karma yoga, the activities are not fully dedicated to Krishna, but rather the fruits are dedicated to Krishna. But the activities are sort of what I like to do. But in bhakti, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's idea is that the actual activity is done for the pleasure of Krishna, and naturally the fruit, therefore, is given to Krishna. So Prabhupada said that to control the mind, do something for Krishna. Not that it can't be something that you like, but Krishna's pleasure should be at the very heart of it. But I'm doing this for you, Krishna, as an offering for you. And let me do it, therefore, in a very careful, meticulous, and devotional way. Not only just offering fruit to Krishna, but But Krishna, please be pleased on how I'm performing the activity, because the activity is for your pleasure too. Everything is done for Krishna, and then the consciousness is Krishna conscious. That's what Prabhupada was explaining. And he was explaining the necessity of having one's mind focused on Krishna. And the only way to do that, is really become devotional. Now, it's obviously easier to say than to do, because what do you do next when you say, okay, from now on I'm going to be devotional? Well, what do you do when there is no devotion to be devotional with? When we look in our hearts and we say, oh, I should do something for Krishna, and that's the furthest thought from my mind. I don't mind doing something with Krishna as a part of it, but actually doing it with devotion, that so Krishna will be pleased by every aspect of what I do, an actual devotional offering. What do you do when you find that you have no devotion? So of course our whole process of Krishna consciousness is the process of developing devotion. And yesterday I heard Prabhupada say also something wonderful about how to develop all good qualities and control the mind. He said by hearing about Krishna. In bhakti, he said, everything is taken care of by hearing about Krishna. And if we neglect the hearing process, by watering our devotional people with the hearing process, that means hearing with the just hearing at least. Then everything will be taken care of by that process. How wonderful. And he was comparing it to the yoga process, which is so difficult. And if you even master the yoga process of even the asana, all the yogis out here, even asana doesn't begin until yam niyam, until one is following a regulated life. Very, very difficult. One has to be completely detached and renounced from any material interaction to practice these other kinds of yoga. Jnana yoga. This, the Advaita path. Actually to practice it. One can't interact with the material world, because the material world is not seen as Krishna's energy. It is seen simply as Maya, illusion, having no existence. But in bhakti, in Krishna consciousness, the material world is seen as Krishna's energy. And therefore, Krishna's energy should be used in the service of he whose energy it is. And even seeing oneself, we are also parts and parcels of Krishna. Why do we say parts and parcels as opposed to just parts or as just parcels? I mean, I guess it sounds funny. You're a parcel of Krishna. You sound like you need to be delivered, which is also true. But we use that term, parts and parcels of Krishna. We are his energy. Tritiya Shakti Ichate. Internal energy, external energy, and Jiva Shakti. So we are also Krishnas, and it is natural for us when we become engaged, we act for Krishna's pleasure. It is natural, just like it is natural for the hand to feed the stomach, feed the whole. And therefore, because we don't do that naturally in the material world because we are conditioned souls, we are feeling unnatural. And something is wrong somewhere. And we don't know what it is, but what it is that we are not serving Krishna. And that's our natural consciousness. So, Prabhupada, in this lecture, he was talking about the need to become fully absorbed in. And he was speaking mostly about the point of controlling the mind and being absorbed in Krishna, but he mentioned in one sentence something that had a volume of meaning for me, that we have to find something, an offering, something to do for Krishna's pleasure. So in pursuance of this thought for Krishna's pleasure, we're going to continue the Mahaprabhu's Leela that we began yesterday in the evening. And it's a continuation of the one we did on Friday night. Why don't you start playing the harmonium? Yeah, for Krishna's pleasure. Now this is a very interesting point. Now, my duty and my challenge will be to read this pastime in such a way that Sisi Gornatai are pleased, and also Srila Prabhupada will be pleased. But what will your challenge be? Because your situation is much more passive. But your offering will be the offering of hearing. Hear, but there are different kinds of hearing. And one of the ways that we hear is that we hear with our mind not here. But we can also hear in a different way and try to hear with our full consciousness, with our internal sense of hearing, which is situated in the mind. And one of the differences, of course there are many differences between children and adults. One is being size. And another is that children have not learned the art of, when their mind wanders, their body starts wandering. But they live like that. They haven't learned the art that we adults know of hypocrisy yet. Because we can sit there and make believe we're there and everyone, but actually we're not there at all by the mind. But Krishna knows. So try to make a sacrifice of the hearing process in the fire of the mercy of, as an offering of to see Chaitanya Prabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and Srila Prabhupada. So, since some of you were not in the program yesterday evening, I'll just tell a little bit of what we were speaking about. Gopal, are you going to sit right in front of me? Then you have to be, I think it's better if you sit right there with the drum. Yeah, it's a very nice place. As long as Shamasundar doesn't think you're a drum and starts to beat you. So Mahaprabhu was beginning, it was the time for him to begin the Sankirtan movement. He had gone to Gaya and he had returned. He actually, as soon as he took initiation, just by chanting the mantra, the Gopal mantra that he was given by his Gurumaraj. Who was his Gurumaraj? Ishwara Puri. And he had so much love for Ishwara Puri. And he went to Kumarahatta, the place of Ishwarapuri, and no other word came from his mouth other than Ishwarapuri. And he took some of the dust from that place and wrapped it in a cloth and carried it with him. And every day, he would eat a little. But it was time for him to begin the Sankirtan movement, which was to spread throughout the world, to every town and village of the world. Even Ballarat. Warrnambool? Is it possible? But yes. As we sat in this room and Prabhupada lectured so many years ago, 1975 and 1976, he sat right on that Vyasa Sangha and spoke. And no one at that time could have imagined that so many local devotees who live in Melbourne would be here on a Sunday morning to hear about Krishna, the Bhagavatam today, about Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu's mercy, it was time for him to spread. And on Friday night, we spoke about how no other thought, no other word would come to Mahaprabhu's mouth other than Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And he stopped teaching. A little more direct, that melody. And then yesterday, we heard how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how his consciousness changed when he became a devotee. Because previously, he was the most powerful of great scholars. But as soon as he became a devotee, he became very, very humble and meek. And he would serve the other devotees. And they were thinking, why are you serving us? But with his humble mood, they naturally reciprocated with that by blessing him and praying for him. And that is very, very natural when we, or if we become humble, no, when we become humble, because life has its ways of making us humble. Sometimes devotees ask me, how can I become humble? I said, just be patient, don't worry. But naturally, just as water goes in a downward direction, so similarly the blessings of the devotees, of the Lord and the devotees, come to one who feels himself in a lower position. It's just the natural way that it flows. So all the devotees blessed Mahaprabhu, but they told him, they were so happy that he had become a Vaishnava. And the devotees said that, please, now we know when Nimai Pandit has become a Vaishnava, now our Vaishnava family will increase. So that's a natural desire of a devotee, that the family of Vaishnavas increase. Completely natural. So, as they told Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit, how happy they were that he had become a Vaishnava, they also told him of the pain that they had in their hearts, how the materialists were not happy that the Sankirtan movement, they were not happy. They were critical. And then when the chanting began in the house of Srivas Thakur, some of the materialistic people, foolish materialistic people, or in Prabhupada's term, rascals, they started spreading this rumor around. They began complaining and spreading the rumor that the Mohammedan king would soon send two boatloads of soldiers and stop anyone in the district of Nadia or anyone from chanting Krishna's holy names. If you were chanting Krishna's holy names, it was a crime. Public performance of any religious activity was a crime other than the Islam. That was the law. So there were complaints to the Mohammedan king. So then the rumor started spreading everywhere that two boatloads of soldiers were going to come and arrest everyone. And the people were saying that, I told you before, the Srivas Thakur is going to cause us so much trouble. When I told you that we should take his house and throw it into the Ganga, you thought I was just fooling and joking. But no, now you'll see. You'll see that I was correct. And you know what he'll do? When the soldiers come, he'll run away with his family members, and we will be left. And we will get in trouble. Let us tie Shiva's Thakur up now. And let us hand him over to the Muslim king right now, the Qazi. And the devotees, when they started hearing these rumors, they said, we're under the protection of the Supreme Lord. Nothing can happen without his will. We are peaceful in that way. But Srivas Thakur was very, very innocent hearted. And in his heart, he experienced some fear that the king would come and capture him and his family and take him away and put him into prison. So during this time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not revealed his identity as being the Supreme Lord, but rather, everyone thought him a very powerful devotee whose Krishna's Shakti had entered into. But now the time for him to reveal his actual identity had come. But he would reveal it slowly. So during this time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would fearlessly walk about Navadvipa. And each of his limbs was anointed with fragrant sandalwood paste. His lips were red, his eyes were shaped like lotus flowers, lotus petals. You can see, like that, very, very long and reddish, coming almost to his ears. His face was like a full moon. His hair was curly, and a sacred thread decorated his shoulder, and his form was charming. His garments were splendid, and betel nuts were on his lips. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu peacefully walked on the Ganga bank. And when the materialists who had spread these rumors saw him, they became very morose. What does morose mean?
Sad,
depressed. And one said, he must have heard of the danger, but still he has no fear. He walks about town as if he was a prince. Another said, I know that his actions are part of a trick, so that at night while we all sleep, he will flee and escape the king's men. But Mahaprabhu just walked by the beautiful Ganga bank, and suddenly he saw a herd of cows. And when he saw that herd of cows, do you know the word udipam that's used in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Nectar Girls? What does udipam mean? Say it out loud. Say it out loud so I can hear it. Stimulant. It's a stimulant. That which stimulates. And what does an Udipan stimulate? For one who has some love of Krishna within his heart, it stimulates rasa to be generated. So when Mahaprabhu saw those cows, he immediately thought of Krishna in Vrindavan. He thought about Gopal Krishna in Vrindavan, because Gopal means he who protects the cows. They were mooing, they were drinking water, and seeing them, the Lord entered an ecstatic trance. His mood shifted and he went completely internal, and not in the mood of a devotee in separation, but he entered the mood of the Supreme Lord himself. And he began to say, roaring, I am he, I am he. He shouted that again and again. And in that mood, he ran to the house of Shivas, and he began loudly calling out, Shivas, what are you doing now? What are you doing now? And Shivas, who was somewhat afraid, at that time within his house, he was worshipping Lord Nrisingadev. And Mahaprabhu began pounding on the door again and again until the door broke open. And he began to roar, and Shivas Thakur was internally meditating on worshipping the Sringadev. And Mahaprabhu began to roar, who are you worshipping? Upon whom are you meditating? Look, look. The person upon whom you meditate is now before you. In his meditation, Shivas Thakur saw a form that was blazing like fire. And his meditation broke. And his eyes opened. And he saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sitting in Virasana. What is Virasan? Who can show us what Virasan is? Are there any yogis or yoginis? Do you know Virasan? Yes? Do you know Virasan? Do you know Virasan? Only bhakti yogis here. Okay. I also don't know Virasan. If I remember. No, I forgot. Okay. But he was sitting in Virasana, a very powerful asana. Mahaprabhu was sitting there, and the Lord, and Shivas Thakur saw that the Lord, blazing like fire, was holding a kansha, a chakra, a club, and a lotus in his four arms. And he was roaring like a mad lion. And he made a loud sound by slapping the palms of his hand against his left shoulder. He's making loud sounds in that way. Shivas, seeing the form of the Lord before him, he first began to tremble in fear. His body shook. And then he simply stared at the Lord, shocked, stunned. And the Lord began to roar, O Shivas, for so many days you did not know my true identity. But because of your loud sankirtan, I left Vaikuntha and I came here with all my associates. And I know the anxiety you are feeling due to the threats of the king. I will rescue the devotee. This Lord Nrisingadev form, and I will kill the demons. Don't worry. Now recite prayers to me. Shiva stared at the Lord. tears of love were falling down his cheeks, and the fear in his heart died. And then the Lord said, recite prayers to me. And Srinivas Pandit, the great devotee of the Lord, recited prayers. He began with the words that Lord Rama spoke to Krishna in the 14th chapter, the first verse of the 14th chapter of the 10th canto. He said, my dear Lord, you are the only worshipable Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead. And therefore, I am offering my humble obeisances and prayers just to please you. He offered his prayers just to please the Lord. Brahma was looking at youthful Krishna, who was just in his Kodanda form, just 6 years old. And he said, your bodily features are the color of clouds filled with water. You are glittering with a silver aura effulgent that is emanating from your yellow garments. Let me offer my obeisances, respectful obeisances, unto the son of Nanda Maharaj, who is standing before me with kansha earring and a peacock feather on his head. His face is beautiful. And he's wearing a crown, mukut, and he's garlanded with vanamala, a garland of flowers picked from the forest of Vrindavan. And every day Yashoda Mata, she used to decorate Krishna with so many jewels and so many necklaces, but still Krishna preferred the flowers that were picked from the forest of Vrindavan. Srivas continued repeating the prayer of Brahma. He is standing with a morsel of food, kavala. He is decorated with a stick and his flute in his waist. And he carries a buffalo horn and he stands before me, Pashupanga Jaya, like a little boy with small lotus feet. And after reciting these words of Lord Rama, Srivasa's own prayers appeared within his mouth. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the feet of Vishwambar. He is dark like a monsoon cloud, and he wears yellow garments. I offer my respectful obeisances to the feet of Sati's son. He is decorated with a peacock feather and a necklace of new gunja berries. I offer my respectful obeisances to the feet of Ganga Das's student. He wears a garland of forest flowers. How sweetly he mixed the glorification of Krishna with the glorification of the son of Sachidevi, Sachinandana. He holds rice and yogurt in his hand. And I offer my respectful obeisances to the feet of Jagannath Misra's son. His face and his form are more glorious than millions of moons. You are the same Supreme Lord who carried a buffalo horn, a bugle, a flute, and a stick. Oh my Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances at your feet. You are the same person that the Vedas call the son of Maharaj Nanda. Oh Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances to your feet. You are Sachinanda. You are Vishnu. You are Krishna. You are the master of all Jagyas. The most sacred Ganga is the water that has washed your feet. You are Lord Ram, who is the life of Sita. You are Lord Nrisingadev. Brahma, Shiva, and all the demigods are bumblebees attracted to your feet. You are known by the study of Vedanta. You are to be known Veda Anta. Vedescha Savar. Ameva Vidyo. You are Narayan. You are Vamana. And it was you who cheated Bali Maharaj. You are Hayagriva. Where is the one who is not Hayagriva then? Oh Lord, you are Hayagriva. You are the moon of Nilachala. You are the life of the world. And you are the origin of everything. And disguised as a householder, you bewildered me. I did not know who you were. My birth was lowly. And displaying many illusions, you cheated me. You washed my garments, you folded my dhoti and served me in so many ways. O Lord, I am no longer afraid of the Mohammedan king. O Master of my life, please hear my words. You are my Lord. And today, by appearing before my eyes, you have destroyed all my sufferings. Today, my birth and my deeds have borne their rightful fruit. And today, all auspiciousness has come before me. Today, my ancestors are delivered. Today, my home has become glorious. And today, my eyes have become fortunate without limit because I am seeing you. Today, I gaze on you, the Supreme Lord, whose feet the Goddess Lakshmi serves. Speaking these words, Srivas Pandit entered an ecstatic trance. And he raised his arms. He wept and he sighed. As he gazed at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's wonderful form, fortunate Srivas rolled on the ground in ecstasy and drowned in an ocean of bliss. Then the merciful Lord said to Srivas Thakur, bring before me your wife, your children, and all others who stay or serve in your house. They too should see my form. You and your wife should worship my feet, and you may then ask from me a boon, a benediction, whatever you desire in your heart. Accepting the Lord's order, Srivas Pandit quickly came with all the members of his family, as well as his servants who stayed and served within his house, to the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He offered all the flowers, all the incense, all the lamps that were intended to Lord Vishnu's worship. And he wept the whole time. Srivas fell down before the Lord's feet, and he spoke prayers in a voice choked with emotion and filled with love for Srivas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Unseen, placed his feet on the heads of all the members of the household of Srivas Thakur. And Mahaprabhu, smiling, said, may your thoughts always rest in me. And that is ultimately the process of being Krishna conscious successfully. We do our part, parisrama in Sanskrit. We do our part, we work to serve and to please, but ultimately it is the Lord's kripa shakti, his mercifulness, that will allow us to be Krishna conscious fully and to have our thoughts resting always and only in him. And roaring then, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then called to Srivas, saying, O Srivas, Is there still some fear in your heart? Do you fear that the king's boat will come and capture you? But it is I that control each of the many spirit souls who reside in countless material universes. And as I who push them and allow them to act. Only if I, residing in the king's body, give the king permission, will the king be able to say that you should be captured. And if I do not give that order, but if he somehow acts independently, then I will do something wonderful. I will be the first to go on that boat, and I will approach the king. Will the king remain on his throne after he sees me? I will bewilder him, and I will pull him down from his throne. And if he does not become bewildered, then I will say, listen, listen, O king. Please learn what is true and what is false. Please assemble all the mullahs and qazis in your kingdom. O king, I will say, now bring elephants. Bring horses. Bring animals. Bring birds to your court. And order all your qazis to read aloud from your scriptures and inspire them to weep. And if they have no power to do that, then I will allow the king to glimpse my power. I will tell him, on the word of your religious men, you have forbidden Sankirtan, the chanting of the Lord's holy names. And you have seen the little power that they possess. With your own eyes, you will see my power. Then I will capture those mad elephants, horses, animals, and birds. And I will make them chant, Krishna, Krishna. Then I will make the king and his followers also chant Krishna weep. O Srivas, if in your heart you still don't believe me, then I will show you. See this with your own eyes. The Lord then turned to Srivas' young niece, who was named Narayani, and Sri Krishna Chaitanya Chandra, who is the super soul in all living beings, now gave this order. Narayani, chant Krishna's names and weep. Then frail Narayani began to act with wild abandon. She called him Krishna, oh Krishna. She lost all awareness of the external world as streams of tears flowed over her limbs and fell to the ground. Her eyes filled with tears as she wept. Mahaprabhu then smiled and said, Srivas, have your fears now fled far away? An eloquent Srivas threw his arms in the air. Everyone, throw your arms in the air. And he said, when your form of time destroys the entire creation, I will chant your name and I will be fearless. Now that you are here in my house, what should I fear? When he had spoken these words, Srivas Pandit, his family members and his servants and maidservants then entered an ecstatic trance as they looked at the Lord's form. which even the four Vedas yearn to see. And Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur says, how will I describe the glorious activities of Sri Vrindavan? The dust of whose feet purifies the world. As Lord Krishna appeared in Vasudev's home but enjoyed pastimes in Nanda's home, so Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What to do? So Srivas appeared, Mahaprabhu appeared in Vasudev's home, but enjoyed pastime. Mahaprabhu appeared in Jagannath Mishra's home, but enjoyed his pastimes in Srivas Pandit's home. Srivas Pandit was dear to all the Vaishnavas, and all who came to his home became happy. Srivas' servants and maidservants happily gazed at the Supreme Lord, who the Vedas glorified with prayers in their mouths. For by serving a Vaishnava, one attains the supreme goal. By a Vaishnava's mercy, one meets Krishna. That becomes another goal. Then, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then ordered Srivas, don't tell anyone else. After a few moments, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to external consciousness and became embarrassed at heart. And after reassuring Srivas, the Lord went to his home, leaving Srivas Pandit, his wife, brothers, servants, and maidservants, filled with happiness. Anyone who hears the prayers that Srivas spoke when he saw the Lord's form will become a servant of Lord Krishna. Lord Balaram, who stays in my heart as the super soul, has ordered me to sing of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, I bow down before the feet of the Vaishnavas. I pray that Lord Balaram may be my master, birth after birth. I sing the glories of Lord Nityananda, who is known as Avadhuta Chandra, the moon of Avadhuta, who is Lord Balaram himself, and who is so dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The two moons, Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Sri Nityananda, Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur says, are my life and soul. And I, Vrindavan Das, sing the glories of their lotus feet.
Thank you.